commence our service of worship this morning by singing together the paraphrase number 61 in your hymn book, the paraphrase number 61, the page 168 of your hymn book. Blessed be the everlasting God, the Father of our Lord, be His abounding mercy praised, His majesty adored. The paraphrase number 61 and the page 168 will stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. Let's stand as we sing.
Bless ye the everlasting God, the Father of our Lord. He is abiding mercy, grace, His majesty adored. When from the dead He raised His Son and called Him to this life, He gave our souls a light we know that we should never die. To God in heaven lives He by, He taught our hearts to rise. His uncorrupted, undivine, unfading in the skies. Saints by the power of God our King, till the salvation come, we walk by faith as strangers here, while Christ shall call us home.
We'll just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us look to the Lord, praying for the Lord's presence and blessing. And have the Reverend Peter McIntyre with us today, and ask our brother if he'd just lead us to the Lord in prayer, please. Thank
you. Your holy presence, we thank you for this day that you've given to us for the purpose of praise and for worship. We thank you for the Lord's Day. Thank you, Father, for this memorial that thou didst create the heavens and the earth and rested on the Sabbath. But we thank you for this first day of the week, whenever we reflect upon the resurrection of your dear Son. Coming of your Son, that God sent his son into the womb of the Virgin, sent his Son into this world to take upon himself the form of a man, to become flesh and blood without sin, sent his Son to endure all of the deprivations of this world without sin, sent his Son to die the terrible death of the cross. And we thank you that we can come into your presence knowing that Jesus died for me. Jesus shed his blood for me. Truly we can say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us today in our worship. We pray for thy servant as he brings forth your word, that you would give him the power of the Holy Ghost, that he would bring words that would come to our hearts and our souls with freshness, and that we would feed upon your truth, and that we would go away knowing that God has spoken to me. And give each one of us that silent inner prayer. Lord, speak to me and help me to be submissive to thy will. That here today we would have an encounter with God through Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, we pray that thou wouldest bless each one that is here. Bless the congregation here in Bethel. Undertake for every need, for all that are sick and lay aside, we bring them before you. For those who perhaps are feeling the sense of perhaps loneliness and sorrow as Christmas approaches, that you would be with them. You would bind up the broken heart. We pray that you would bless every faithful servant of thine who preaches Christ today, that you would stir your people and pour revival out upon this poor land of ours, we plead. And so we pray that you would continue with us for Christ's sake. Amen.
Thank our brother for leading us in prayer. We'll turn again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 93 in your hymn book. The hymn number 93 in the page 213. I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should shed his love upon the sons of men, or why a shepherd he should seek the wanderers to bring them back, they know not how nor when. The hymn number 93, standing as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. Stand as we sing.
Bye.
have your Bible with you today, I would ask you to turn, please, in God's Word to the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel to the chapter number 4. And we're beginning our reading there at the verse 30 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the chapter. Turning to Mark's Gospel, the second book of the New Testament, chapter 4, and beginning our reading at the verse number 30. Let us hear God's Word as we read it together this morning. And he said, as the Lord Jesus, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or of what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to bear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. Ending a reading there at verse number 41. And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of God's precious and eternal and fallible word to all our hearts today. At this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to God's house. It's good to see each one gathered with us here today. And our prayer is the Lord will richly bless you today as you gather with us around God's Word. If you're a believer, may you be drawn closer to the Lord as Savior. If you're here today and you're not saved, that this very day would be the day of your salvation, of you coming unto Christ and trusting Him as your own and personal Savior. Give a special welcome to Reverend McIntyre and his wife and family. Nice to have them with us here today. We pray the Lord will bless them at this time of holiday as well. Nice to see also our sister Anna back with us from America. Welcome you back at this time of the year. Trust the Lord will bless you also as you meet with family and friends at this time of the year. And to those also who are listening in online, we do also welcome you and thank you for joining with us today. And pray God will bless you through His Word and through His truth. Do remember the announcements for the week are as follows. The evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30. Encourage as many as possible to gather for the time of prayer. And then 7 p.m. is our annual carol service. Members of the Sunday School Youth Fellowship will be taking part. Raymond and Jenny Foy will be singing. We'll be bringing God's Word. And then there'll be supper for all after the meeting. So be much in prayer for the meeting. Do make it known. And do all you can to invite and encourage others in, family members, friends, work colleagues, neighbors, whatever, in under the sound of God's Word. There's still some wee invitation cards left there for the carol service out on the table in the porch. We encourage you to take those and even give them out to friends and family today. Tuesday night, 8 p.m. is our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We'll be long to take that meeting. Trust as many as possible will gather for the time of prayer and Bible study. And then immediately after the prayer meeting, there'll be a very brief committee meeting, just 5 or 10 minutes on Tuesday night. If the members of committee could remember that, please. And next Lord's Day, the 24th of December, the Sunday School will be off for the next 2 weeks, but the morning service is 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7. We'll be long to bring God's Word. Both services will be preceded by the half hour of prayer. Do remember those meetings and plan to join with us for those times around God's Word next Lord's Day. As is customary, there'll be no prayer meeting during the Christmas week. from Christmas through to the New Year. The prayer meeting will be off that week. Our end of year special service will be Lord's Day, the 31st of December at 7 p.m. And due to New Year's Eve being on the Sunday, there'll be no watch night service this year. But do remember that special meeting at the end of the year at 7 p.m. And then our annual week of prayer will be in the new year in January from the 15th through to the 18th of January each night at 8 p.m. Do keep those nights free and do come along to those special seasons of prayer. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. Again, a word of thanks to all who helped with the calendar distribution. And we pray for the going forth of God's word in this respect, that God would richly bless it and use it to the extension of his kingdom. We're turning again in our hymn book, please, to the hymn number 399 in your hymn book. The hymn number 399. That's a lovely old hymn. It's really a prayer. It says, "Speak to my soul, Lord Jesus, speak now in tenderest tone. Whisper in loving kindness, thou art not left alone. Open my heart to hear thee, quickly to hear thy voice. Fill thou my soul with praises, let me in thee rejoice." We'll keep our seats. We don't take up an offering during the meeting, but do remember the offering plates as you leave. We'll remain seated while we sing the early part of this hymn. 299 remaining seated while we sing. To sing the final verse and chorus.
Let me, O Lord, fulfill.
Again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Mark's Gospel, and to the chapter number 4. And just with God's Word open before us, let us bow together, please, just in a brief word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we do thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our gathering today. We thank Thee, Lord, for the singing of the praises of our God and of our Savior. And Father, we pray now as we come to consider Thy precious and Thy holy word that Thou would draw near. Lord, even as we've just been singing, our prayer would be that Thou would speak to us through Thy word and through Thy truth with tones of grace and love and mercy and kindness to our souls. Each and every one of us today hear that voice from the Lord saying, "This is the way, walk ye therein." Bless Thy word today to the strengthening and the sanctifying of every child of God in this meeting house. For any, Lord, may be wandering afar off from Thee, may they know Thy restoring touch, Thy restoring grace. And Lord, for any in this gathering today outside of Christ, may they seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near, and know the blessing and the joy of sins forgiven and Thy so great salvation within their heart and life and soul. Bless us now, we pray. Do us good. Hide us behind the cross. Fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit and with the power and the wisdom and the guidance and the direction of God. Let nothing be said that is not of Thee. And let the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified amongst us. Do every heart much good. For we pray and we ask all these things in our Savior's name and for the Savior's glory. Amen and amen. Our text of Scripture for our meeting today is the verse number 40 of Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4. And He said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Now, Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, records for us a day in the life of the public ministry of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That day He was busy teaching and proclaiming God's word to multitudes along the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. And at the end of that busy day, the Lord Jesus Christ, he commands His disciples to take a boat to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. The Lord goes with them on this particular journey, and due to tiredness of body, indeed the busyness of the day, the account tells us how the Lord Jesus lies down upon a pillow for sleep and for rest along the journey. And as they sail across the sea, there is a great storm in the Sea of Galilee. The waves crash into the boat, filling it with water. The disciples themselves are filled with fear. And in response to this, the disciples, they awaken the Lord from His sleep, and they call upon the Lord for deliverance. And by the Lord's almighty and miraculous power, He stills the storm, and He causes a great calm upon the Sea of Galilee. And this miracle was but further proof, further evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed God manifest in the flesh, the Almighty and the Eternal Son of God. Following on from this, the Lord then speaks to the disciples in the words of our text this morning, verse 40 of Mark chapter 4. It says, "And He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And with these thought-provoking words and questions, the Lord had vital, yes, valuable lessons for the disciples to learn that day for them when He stilled the storm in the Sea of Galilee. And dear people, this morning it is these same words that I also want us to consider today. For these words, yes, have vital, important lessons for all of God's people, for every child of God, especially when it comes to dealing with fear and turmoil and distress in our life as Christians. Our text today says, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Maybe there's someone today in the meeting and your heart is filled with fear, with distress and with turmoil because of particular situations that have come in upon you and upon your life as a believer. Well, child of God, as the Lord would speak to your heart and my heart today through His Word, He puts these words to us in this gathering and says, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" So we think then upon these words before us. There's a number of important lessons I want to set before you, and may they be an encouragement to you today, dear child of God, in this gathering. Notice first of all here with me the reality of fear among God's people. As the Lord here speaks to His disciples, He says, "Why are ye so fearful?" And the use there of that little word "so" really means that they were overcome at this time, the Lord's disciples, with great fear. And the cause of their fear was the storm in the Sea of Galilee. We read about that storm in verse 37 of the passage, where it says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now filled." In Matthew's account of this incident in the life of the Lord Jesus, he calls it a great tempest. It was a tremendous storm. In Luke's account of this incident in the life of the Lord Jesus, Luke says these words. He says, "There came down a storm of wind on the lake." He says, "It came down upon the lake." Indeed, many Bible commentators would believe and would tell us and suggest that this storm was really an attack of Satan upon Christ and upon His disciples at that particular time. For the Bible describes Satan himself as the prince of the power of the air. And the storm come down from the air, come down upon the sea. Yes, Christ was going on to do a mighty work. The Satan sought to stop Him in His work and His servants with Him in the work that He had called them to. It's very important to note that this particular time, the disciples were in the very center of God's will for their lives. They were in the dead center of God's will, for the Lord had told them, He had commanded them to get into this boat and to sail across the Sea of Galilee. Look at verse 35 and verse 36 of the chapter. It says of the Lord, "He saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship." And they were in the very center of God's will, going across the sea in obedience to the command of Christ. But despite this, they met with this tremendous storm. And that teaches you and I who are saved a very important lesson. When we are saved and in God's will, in the very center of the will of God, we're not immune from trouble, not immune from trial, not immune from the attack of Satan and the evil one. As a result of this storm, Luke chapter 8, verse 22, it says that the disciples were in jeopardy. In other words, they were in great danger. In fact, they thought they were going to drown, that they were going to go down into the sea. For look at what they say to the Lord at the end of verse 38 in the chapter. They said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" They thought they were going to perish. They were going to sink and go down into a watery grave. But it seems at this point in their mind that they feel all hope for them is gone. And they're overcome with great fear, great turmoil, great tribulation and distress of heart and of soul. I remember a few years ago, whenever we were holding up on the north coast going out on a sea fishing trip, we hired a little boat from the harbor there in Port Rush, and we sailed out of the harbor into the sea. And it wasn't very long before we'd round Ramor Head that a great swell got up in the sea. And the little boat that we're on began to bob up and down in the waves that seemed to be getting bigger and bigger. And it wasn't very long before we were all gripped with fear and holding on to the sides of the boat for all that we were worth. And I tell you, that night I was glad to get back into the harbor where there was peace and there was calm on that occasion. Well, on this occasion here before us, the disciples, yes, and remember, these were experienced fishermen. These were men who knew the Sea of Galilee. This was their labor. This was their toil. Yet on this occasion, they were gripped with great fear, great distress, great turmoil of soul because of the storm that had broken in upon them on the Sea of Galilee. And people, does that not show us a vital lesson? It proves to us that as God's people, none of us are immune from fear. You think of David today, the great soldier who slew Goliath. He said to the Lord in Psalm 56, he says, "What time I am afraid." He knew what it was to be afraid. Turning your Bible over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. And here we read of the words of the Apostle Paul. He's giving an account of his own life as a Christian. And Paul was an eminent, the most eminent of God's servants in the early New Testament church, yet he knew what it was to be afraid. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse number 5. Notice what he says. He says, "For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears." He knew what it was to be afraid. And child of God, even when you're in the will of God, seeking to serve the Lord and to live for the Lord, we are not immune from fear. Yes, fear can come our way through circumstances and situations in our lives as the people of God. Yes, fear can come in upon our hearts and minds as the believer. Also, things can happen in our daily life as Christians, and they can cause you and I great fear. Maybe a phone call or a letter from the doctor. Maybe the knock of a stranger at the door of a home. Perhaps problems in the home, in the family, in the workplace where we work day by day, in the nation where we live. All these things can cause us to be fearful, to be beset with fears, with doubts, with distresses, with concern of heart. And child of God, when these things happen, don't count them a strange thing. Don't think that this is something absolutely unique to you as a Christian. No. The Bible says to you and I in the book of 1 Peter, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." We're not to count these things strange or unique just to ourselves. The Bible says, there's no temptation taken you which is not uncommon to man. And there again, the thought is that trials, troubles, tribulations come our way as the people of God, that our way can be beset with fears. And in our text here today, as the Lord, as he speaks to his disciples, he says, "Why are ye so fearful?" And highlights to you and I the realities of fears, of torments, of distresses in the hearts and the life of the Christian, the child of God. But not only do we see the reality of fear, notice secondly the outcome of fear among God's people. Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, it says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." And that shows us that fear ensnares people, in particular fear ensnares God's people. And on this occasion, fear caused the disciples to be ensnared with doubt. If you look at what Christ goes on to say to them in our text, he says, "Why are ye so fearful?" And then he goes on and he says, "How is it that ye have no faith?" If you look there at verse 38 of the chapter, such words really shows us how the disciples doubted even on this occasion the Lord's care for them. He who was going to die for them on the cross, he who had called them to himself in salvation, who'd called them to be his servants, and they doubted the Lord's care for him. For it says at the end of verse 38 that he awake him and say unto Master, "Carest thou not that we perish?" They accused the Lord here of not caring for them, and that accusation was false. It was unfounded. They thought that all their hopes as the Lord's disciple were coming to an end on this occasion.
that he did not care for them. It's very interesting to note that this same doubt ensnared the heart of Martha, who was the sister of Mary. Remember the time when the Lord visited that home in Bethany? And Mary, we're told, she sat at the feet of her Savior, yet Martha was cumbered with much serving and with much service. And she said these words to the Lord. She says, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone?" And again there, Martha was wrong. She wrongly accused the Lord of not caring about her on that occasion. Of course, that was wrong. It was unfounded. It was not true. It was not correct what she said, accusing the Lord of not caring for her. That was the result of doubt in her life as a Christian. And brethren and sisters in Christ, yes, the same can afflict us also when troubles come our way, when fears arise and doubts and distresses overtake us. We can end up saying and thinking that the Lord does not care for us as His people. Well, believer, can I say to you in the meeting today, no matter what happens in life, no matter what the circumstances that comes upon you, remember this, the Lord cares for you. Turning your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And just look at what is recorded there by Peter. And in the context here, Peter was writing to Christians in deep trial and tribulation. He says, "Casting all your care upon Him." Note the final words, for He careth for you. And Christian, no matter what the world says, no matter what other people say, no matter what we might think ourselves and the circumstances and the tribulations of life, always remember this, believer, the Lord is one who cares for you. And He cares for His people, all of His people, so much that He came down from heaven's glory. He went to the cross. He was to shed His blood on the cross of Calvary for our redemption and for the salvation of our souls and the forgiveness of all of our sins. Oh, how much then does He care for you and I as His people, as the people of God? You'll see here that in the case of the disciples here in Mark chapter 4, that they succumbed to doubt and to fear because they doubted the Lord's promise. You look at what the Lord says to them there in verse number 35 of the chapter. At the end of that verse, the Lord said these words implicitly to them. He says, "Let us pass over onto the other side." The Lord there was telling them they were going to reach the other side of the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Come what may, the Lord said they would reach the other side of that shore. But because of doubt, the disciples failed to see this great promise in the midst of the storm. They lost sight of this great promise that the Lord said they would pass over, they would reach to the other side of the shore. Also on this occasion, we see how the disciples also initially doubted because they failed to rely on the Lord's presence with them. Look again at what it says there in verse number 38. It says of the Lord, "And He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow." Again there in verse 36 it says, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship." Despite the storm, the Lord was still with them in the ship. He hadn't forsaken them. He hadn't deserted them. He hadn't left them, as it were, to fend for themselves when the storm came upon the boat. No, the Lord was there with them in the boat in the midst of the storm. But initially, the disciples, because of their doubt, they failed to rely on the presence of the Lord with them. And now they were overcome with fear, and they lost sight of this great fact that the Lord Himself was in the midst, that He hadn't forsaken them, that He was there in the storm. And the disciples also in their doubt initially, yes, lose sight of the Lord's almighty power. And that He was able to still the storm. For they say there at the end of verse 38, "Carest thou not that we perish?" They thought they were perishing. They were going down. They'd lost sight of the Lord's almighty power in this occasion. Dear Christian, can I say this is always the outcome of unbelief in our lives as Christian. This is the fruit of unbelief. We end up doubting the Lord's promises. We end up doubting the Lord's presence. And we end up doubting the Lord's power. And for this particular reason, Christian, God warns you and I as believers against unbelief and doubt. He speaks to us against the sin of unbelief and doubt being allowed to hold sway in our hearts and lives as believers. Turning your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. And look at what Paul says there to the Lord's people. In Hebrews chapter number 3 and the verse number 12. He isn't speaking to the unsaved. He's speaking here to the believer, to the child of God, to you and I who are saved by the grace of God. He says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God." He warns us there against unbelief. The fact is, it takes us away from the Lord, from depending upon the Lord, His presence, His promises, His power. It puts a barrier up between us and the Lord. This was how it was with the disciples on this occasion. They were overcome with fear. And as a result of the fear, then we see how unbelief took over. And they doubted the Lord's presence. They doubted His power, doubted His ability to still the storm on that occasion. This was the fruit of unbelief and fear at that particular time. Notice one final thought in connection with our text today. Notice the cure for fear among God's people. What is the cure for fear among God's people? The cure for fear in the life of the believer is faith in God. The Bible says, have faith in God. And in our text, Christ, He says there to the disciples in verse number 4, He says, "How is it that ye have no faith?" And those words really show that their faith had become weak. Their faith had become dim. Their faith had become clouded. Their faith, as it were, had reached a low ebb. Commenting on this very same situation, Matthew says these words, quoting the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, he says, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" In other words, their faith had grown weak. Their faith had grown dim. Their faith was at a low ebb. But let us not forget here that God was sovereign in this whole situation. And God, yes, He allowed this storm to come. He permitted this storm to come. And what was the effect of the storm? It led to a reviving of the faith of the disciples, for it did eventually cause them to look to the Lord and to acknowledge their need of the Lord for help. And you see that from the very title that they give to Christ in verse number 38 when they refer to Him as Master. They say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And by using that word "master" there, we see here the disciples, they recognize the sovereignty of the Lord. They recognize the power of the Lord. They recognize the majesty of the Lord. Yes, they themselves had been witnesses of His past miracles in the mighty acts of the Lord. Therefore, they know now that the Lord is the only one who can help them in their time of need, in their time of distress. Hence, they cry out, "Master." They realize the Lord was the one who could deal with this situation and deal with this storm. And you know, their cry was not in vain. For look at verse number 39 of the chapter, it says of the Lord, "And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased." And it says there was a great calm. The Lord, He stilled the storm. He calmed the fears. It says there was a great calm. Not only does He still the storm, calm the sea, take away the wind, but He brings them safely across the sea to the other side of the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Look at verse 1 of the next chapter. Notice what it says. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes, and there Christ was to do a mighty, powerful work."
in the area of Gadara. But the Lord was with them. He stilled the storm. He brought them through the storm. And he brought them safely to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Child of God, learn from this today in our meeting. In your times of fear, follow the disciples in this point, in this example, and look to the Lord. Trust him for help. Trust him for guidance. Trust him for victory. Trust him for strength. David said, yes, what time I am afraid. But then he went on and he said this to the Lord, I will trust in thee. Look to the Lord in your times of need. Turn back there to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And this was a psalm really of a time of great fear in the life of David. But look at how he begins the psalm. Psalm 27, verse number 1. He says, the Lord is my light. He was his guide and my salvation. He was the Savior. He says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? There you see how the Lord met the need of David's heart at that particular time of fear. He says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Down to the end of the psalm. Notice what he says in verses 13 and 14. He says, I had fainted. It's as if David was at the end of his tether, so to speak. Then he goes on and he says, unless, notice it, I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He gets his eyes off himself, off his circumstances, off his situations. And he fixes his eye upon the Lord. And he says, unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then he gives you and I counsel in the final verse of the psalm. He says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And there David is saying, look to the Lord, wait upon the Lord, rest upon the Lord, depend upon the Lord. Christian, is your way today beset with great fear, great distress, turmoil, concern? Heed the example of David. David could say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Look to the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. He says, wait, I say, upon the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. The Bible says in Psalm 50, verse 15, the Lord is speaking, and he says, call unto me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. The disciples said, Master. The Lord knew their hearts, for he knows the hearts of all. He knew how weak, how dim their faith had become, but he didn't cast them aside, no. He arose and he rebuked the wind. He stilled the storm. And he brought them safely to the other side. There you see the great care and love and compassion for his children. Even when our faith is fainting, even when our faint is low and at a very low ebb, the Lord promises never ever to cast off his people, the saints of God. Believer in Christ, in your time of fear, trust in the Lord's promises and plead those promises earnestly in prayer. The Bible says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. The hymn writer says, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Christian, in the storms of life, stand upon God's promises. Depend upon them. Plead them earnestly before the Lord in prayer. Also, believer, in your time of fear, trust in the Lord's presence with you to cheer you and to guide you and to help you as his child in the time of difficulty. Turn over there to Isaiah chapter number 43. And look at this great promise that the Lord gives to all his people. Isaiah chapter 43, the latter part of verse 1 and verse number 2. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and
through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. In verse 5 again, the Lord says, fear not, for I am with thee. A believer in the time of storm, the time of trial, rest upon the presence of the Lord. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace? They were not alone in the fire. There was one with them. And as the old king looked into the furnace of fire, what did he see? He saw four men loosed. And he says the form of the fourth was like the Son of God. The Lord was with them in the fire, in the storm. Also, dear Christian, when you're in your time of fear, trust in the Lord's almighty power to help you in your time of need. The Lord has lost none of his ancient power. Remember the great promise that Christ gave to his church before he ascended up unto heaven. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Remember when God revealed himself to Abraham of old, he says, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. He reminded him of his might and power. Christian, whatever the need is, whatever the care is, whatever the distress is, the Lord's power is able. The Lord has not lost any of his ancient power. And also, dear Christian, in your time of fear, trust in the Lord's providence, that God is working out all things for good in your life as a believer, in your life as a child of God. The Bible says we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He works out all things for good in our lives as Christians. People often ask, why does trials come? Why does God permit trials in my life? One of the reasons is for the perfecting and the purifying of our faith as Christians, as the people of God. Turn your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse number 7. Notice what it says there. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And just as gold is refined and purified in the fire, so God refines and purifies our faith as Christians in the fires of life and the trials of life, the difficulties of life, the storms of life, whatever they are that come our way. And also, dear child of God, remember this, that God permits trials to draw you and I closer to himself, to wean us away from the world more and more, to wean us away from depending upon self and man more and more, and to draw us closer to the Lord and to depend upon the Lord more and more. Remember again the words of the psalmist David in Psalm 61, verse 2. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You think of Jonah. Whenever he was overwhelmed with fear in the fish's belly, what did he do? The Bible says he prayed unto the Lord. And then he said this, he says, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. He had looked to the Lord in the past. And down in the fish's belly, down in the depths of the sea, in great fear and turmoil, he turns to the Lord. He prays to the Lord and he says, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. And the Lord delivered him up out of the fish's belly. The Lord's hand of grace and of mercy and of power was upon him. O believer in Christ, are you in great need today, great concern of soul? Then look to the Lord. Look to the Lord for help. Look to the Lord for grace. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. And believer, the Lord who has saved you, who has kept you to this very hour, he will keep you. And he will keep you unto life eternal. The Bible says, he which have begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Think of his great promise there in Isaiah 41 verse 10. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You think of the disciples in the storm today that we're looking at. The Lord did not cast them off. He upheld them, even though their faith had become very dim. And he strengthened them, and he took them up, and he used them again for his honor and for his glory. O child of God, in times of fear, times of distress, let us not look to self. Let us not look to man, but look to the Lord. Behold your God, the great I Am, who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I can ever ask or think. Such is the power of God. Dear unsaved friend in our meeting today, let me say this. Are you fearful today about your sin? About what it is doing in your life and where it will take you down to a lost eternity in hell? Friend, if that's the case, look away this day from yourself and look to Christ. Come now by faith to Christ. Confess your sins to Him. Thank Him for dying for you upon the cross of Calvary. Ask Him to save you and to cleanse you from your sins by His precious blood shed upon Calvary's cross. And praise God, He will save you. Praise God, He will pardon all your sins. He will be with you in life. And one day He will take you to heaven. Maybe you say, well, preacher, you don't know my sin, what I have done, what I am guilty of. But what I do know in this, dear friend, is this. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Turn in your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7. Look at this tremendous gospel promise. Friend, unsaved, the Lord gives to you today. Hebrews chapter 7 and the verse number 25, speaking of Christ. It says, wherefore He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He can save you now in the very seat that you're sitting. Save you from your sins. Pardon all your sins. Take you one day to heaven. Take you one day to glory. Christ says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast. I don't go away without the Lord today. Come to Him, trust Him, embrace Him as Savior, live for Him, prove Him, and look for His coming in glory when you shall be forever with Him in heaven, forevermore when you know Him and trust Him as Savior. We'll close our meeting today singing together the hymn number 570. 570 in your hymn book, How Firm a Foundation. Ye saints of the Lord, is led for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. 570 will stand as we sing.
Oh,
us close our meeting with a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here today. We thank Thee for Thy Word. Lord, write Thy Word indelibly and apply it effectually to all our hearts and to all our souls. In our times of fear and distress, help us, O Lord, not to doubt Thee, but to depend upon Thee, to look to Thee, to follow hard after Thee, to cleave unto Thee with all our heart, with all our soul. We thank that Thou hast promised never to leave, nor fail, nor forsake the people of God and the child of God. And for any, Lord, in our gathering today, not saved, yet, Lord, perhaps they're concerned about their soul, about their sin. Oh, help them today to look to Christ, to rest upon the precious blood of Christ, to save their soul, to wash away their sins, and to fit them, O God, for heaven. Lord, bless us now, we pray. Take us to our homes and safely journey with us, we pray. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be our resting and abiding portion now and always. Amen. Amen.